Note to listener, I actually recorded all of this last week, including, or in the last couple weeks, and then last week, I think last Friday, I did the introduction, the welcome to the off-kilter quilt, blah, blah, blah. And here it is, like Thursday night. I know I'm not going to get this up tonight because I'm tired. I just went out with a friend. Hopefully I'll get it up tomorrow. I don't know why it's taken me a week to do this. I'm just lazy. But since I have you, this is Frances, by the way, and you're listening to the Off-Kilter Quilt. And right now it's Thursday, July 24th. Yeesh. But, one thing I want to mention, you know what a really good newsletter is? The Meg Cox newsletter. Do you know Meg Cox? So she's big with the Quilt Alliance. She runs around with Mark Lipinski and Liza Lucy, and I'm sure all sorts of fabulous quilting people. But she sends out a monthly newsletter, and it's really good. It's not like it's an email newsletter, and it's not like pages and pages of stuff, but what she includes is good. And one thing I just learned from reading her most recent newsletter is that the Quilt Life with Ricky Timms and Alex Anderson is going out. It's over. October will be the last issue. Yeah, so, I haven't picked it up in a long time, so I guess I'm one of the reasons it's going out of business. But, I feel a little bit bad about it. But there is a new magazine, or a newish, called Block. It's by the Missouri Star Quilting People, Missouri Star and Jenny Doan. They're doing this publication called Block. I have not seen it. So you can buy it. So is Jenny Doan the Missouri Star person? Maybe she is, anyway. But you can go buy it for $5.99 an issue at the Missouri Star website. And so anyway, who knows? I haven't actually been big on the quilting magazines lately, but I like the Missouri Star Company, Quilt Company, and I wouldn't mind giving it a shot. So there you go, a little news, a little quilting news, perhaps the only quilting news you'll get in this podcast this week. But yeah, so just thought I'd share that, and now we'll get on to the real podcast. P.S. My dinner with Annie Smith got rescheduled because she had to babysit on the night we were going to get together, which was last Thursday. So now we're going to get together in late August. I'll keep you up to date. Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 142, I think. No, maybe 141. I think it's 141. I'm getting ahead of myself. And the first thing I want to do is thank everyone who's commented on the last couple episodes, because I haven't done that, and I really appreciate comments. They make me really happy. So let me say thanks to Terry, Laura, Jay, to Lisa, Philippa, AJ Dub, Suzanne, Kelly the Fifth, Quilt and Jenny, Tammy, Tori, Sally H, Sherry D, Walker Lady, and Quilt and Jenny. There are actually a couple people have commented more than once, like AJ Dub and Quilt and Jenny and somebody else. Anyway, thank you. Laura, maybe. I appreciate it. I love getting comments. If you want to leave a comment, go to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. So now I'm sitting out on the porch. I have to tell you, just a beautiful day. We have been so lucky this summer, because we've had some very hot weather. People complain about it, I don't. But, because I don't complain about the weather. But every hot spell we've had has been followed by a cold front. And so, like, for the rest of the week, it's going to be in the low to mid 80s. Before the sun came out this afternoon, like around 2 o'clock, I was actually working in the garden. I am pruning my tomatoes. Now, this is actually the man's tomatoes. And first of all, he's given up on the garden by now. It's all mine. It's like my little playground. He has never been a tomato pruner, which I think is actually, we have some huge plants, and they probably should have been pruned a while back. But, obviously with tomatoes, the leaves at the bottom go brown. Oops. Wow. Oh, we have two mourning doves, beautiful birds that I love so much that Travis, they've turned Travis into a vicious killer. Ah, he's calmed down now. Sorry about that. Anyway, so, but the man's all about leave the brown leaves on because they kind of shade the plant, keep it cool. And there's something to that, but to me, I don't know. It's that time of year. It's been so hot. After a long, cool spring, it's so hot, and you can just see some of the plants, they're kind of straining. They're like, we're really, and it's been very dry. That's really been the thing. I know. Is this a gardening podcast? No, but just the point is, lovely day, cool enough for me to work out in the yard while there was cloud cover. I don't like being in the direct sun at all, ever. And that's been lovely. And what else to tell you? I feel like there are other things to tell you, but really, just, you know, it's summer. It's the middle of the summer. We have 4.5 weeks left, and so far we're doing fine. We'll get to that point. So school starts back about August 18th or 19th, I think. Maybe it's the 19th. By that point, I'll be like, get out of my house now. But so far we're doing good. We've been very fortunate. Will's friend Gavin has been around for most of the summer, and although sadly leaving for Michigan for 2 weeks on Saturday, that will be a blow, but just been a great source of pool company. And his mom Sarah, my hero, has actually been taking Will to the pool almost every day, so that's been great. And you know, and Jack has been good because he gets enough sleep in the summer. It is just like I mean, obviously, he's getting older, and you know, he knows the equation. The more responsibilities he takes on, the more rights he has, and so he's been very good about doing chores. I think I talk about this in one of the quilt diaries, but it's just been the big thing this summer is I have really put the boys to work. In fact, Will is cleaning the downstairs bathroom right now, and he's like, so which are the chemicals I don't mix? I'm like, the ammonia and the bleach, honey. I think he knew that. I think he was just pulling my leg, like, I'm gonna go mix some ammonia and bleach. Like, great, good. Yeah, so quilting, because this is a quilting podcast. Well, I actually have finished my blocks. Now, these are blocks that, so I talk about this in the quilt diary, my whole units. The finished blocks actually are pieced together to make a larger, piece, but I don't think you would call it a larger block. I think they're four separate blocks that you piece together, and then they make a larger unit. So smaller units pieced together to make a block, and the blocks are pieced together to make a big unit. I talk about units. I'm not going to go on about units here. But I will have a picture. I'm actually still ironing all the blocks. But, of course, I was just absolutely thrilled when I finally had enough to put together so that you could see the pattern. I don't know that what the picture I'll post is not going to... I still have to play around with the different color settings, the different color ways. So it's just an example, probably not the final product, not the final larger unit. Yes. What to tell you? I don't know. You know, just trying to get done what I want to do, which is a lot of stuff in the garden, and I made pickles. I don't think I've talked about that. Or did I? I can't remember when I recorded. What is today? All right, let's back. Today is Wednesday. I can't remember when I recorded the last quilt diary, but I think it was last week. So that is, today's Wednesday, by the way. It is Wednesday, July 16th. Yes, I think the last quilt diary was last week, and then I was waiting just to get done with the units into the blocks, into the larger units. So this weekend I made pickles. We have had a lot of cucumbers. See, back into the gardening podcast. All right. But that was something, I made pickles for the first time. I had made refrigerated. We've had a really good yield of cucumbers. Now I'm looking, there are a lot of cucumber fruits set, but sometimes cucumbers on the vine, they're like chugging right along, and suddenly they just kind of turn yellow and fall off. And so we'll see if I get enough to make another batch of pickles. Because my one concern, I'm of the four jars of pickles, one I feel very confident is sealed. The other three, I'm not as confident. And, you know, you'll just find out, I'll figure it out when I open up the jars, which ones, they probably are all sealed. I'm very paranoid about sealing. And I wasn't around for any popping noises. I made strawberry jam in May, and the popping was very prominent. You couldn't miss the popping. I did not hear the popping with the pickles. That was fun to say. So anyway, it is canning season. So I've got refrigerated pickles. I have canned pickles. I think this weekend I'm going to go blueberry picking and blackberry picking and make some more jam. It's really fun to have during the year to have really good homemade jam. And also our determinant plum tomatoes. Those are determinant ones, are the ones that all the fruit is set, it ripens, and that's it. And they are, I think, maybe a week out from being where they need to be. And then we'll be getting into tomato sauce, which we will freeze. Tomato sauce and tomato soup. Because I know tomatoes are high acid, but canning's, that's something, you know, just, I don't know, botulism. Who needs it? Not me. I am reading lots of stuff, you know, and what am I finishing? You know, I just put the third Louise Penny book on hold. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I put lots of books on hold at my library. We have the Durham library system is fairly large, and if you have a book, so if you put a book on hold and they have a copy at the main library, that book will be whizzing its way to your branch within 24 hours. If the only available copy is at the Eastern branch, East Durham Library or South Durham Library, it could be years. It could be just. But before you get it, a copy will be returned to the main library and you'll get that one. Yes, if that makes sense. Yes, I don't know what's going on in the East Durham Library and South Durham Library, why they are really not into the whole let me help you out with this this hold of yours, but they're not. I think they resent me for some reason because I do place more holds than anybody else in the world. But I'm looking forward, because I was trying to think. All right. So I got this novel. I put this novel called Natchez Burning. I can't remember the author. It's Guy. And he's one of these. He's a what is he writing? A suspense novelist. And sometime in New York. It's not a name that was familiar to me. And now, of course, I can't remember it because I'm 50. And I just can't remember authors. But it's, you know, so Natchez Burning. It was on the New York Times bestseller list probably for about a month recently. And it's got civil rights elements, and it's a suspense novel. But, you know, I read the first couple chapters, and first of all, we were hanging out in the first couple chapters with guys who are so horrible, they think the Ku Klux Klan, like, sissies. I don't know, you know, and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to hang out with you guys. And they're not the main guys. I think it's just setting up background, right? And I think after a couple chapters, then the narrator comes in, and there's some mystery involving his father. His elderly father is accused of basically yikes. Hold on. Okay, that was over with. Anyway, I don't know. You know, the car, and we had that happen when we were on the ferry going to Ocracoke. So we're driving in my minivan. We're on the ferry. And for some reason, the car alarm went off. I can't remember what it was, because I've never had it happen before. The man is in the driver's seat, and he's like, what do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. And then Jack from the back seat is like, why don't you try this? And lays out this very reasonable, logical plan that, of course, worked. And I can't remember what it was. So if that happens again, I don't know. But it's really embarrassing to have your horn going off while you're on a ferry. Anyway, Natchez Burning. Yes, and so the father is the elderly father accused, sort of a Kevorkian assisted suicide thing. So that's and that I think is in the present day. So the first couple chapters are kind of background. I just kind of like, I don't know. I'm not doing great with novels lately. Although Life After Life by Kate Atkinson, loved it, thought it was great, had no trouble staying with it, and looking forward to reading it. But this book, I don't know. I'm going to give it to the man. I mean, I got it from the library. But if he's interested, he'll read it fast. But so I was thinking, like, what do I want to read? I want a novel to read. What should it be? And I thought, you know what? Let's move forward with Louise Penny and the Inspector Gamache books. So I'm looking forward to getting that. Should anyone at the East Durham or South Durham branch of the library, you know, feel like maybe they should help me out. They sometimes just, you know, they got things to do. Yes, so I'm just going on and on. I'm rambling, which, you know, comes as a shock to absolutely no one. Tomorrow I have dinner with Annie Smith, so I will have that to talk about. Very exciting. Very excited to meet her and talk some quilting talk. And, of course, I'm already thinking, what am I going to do when I finish this quilt that I'm making for my friend Nancy? You know, I'm kind of in the mood to do another applique quilt. I would like to do a good... So I made that Halloween quilt last year. I'm not crazy about it. It's okay. And I think I got... I think it was in the newest keepsake quilting catalog. I saw a nice Halloween applique pattern. And I really enjoyed doing my Christmas one. So... I might do that. I might, that may be on my list. I have to finish my hexagon blog. I'm working on it, Jay. I mean, I'm looking at it, and now I've got to find, I took a picture of the original layout, so I need to go back to that. But one thing at a time, and of course, mosaic quilt. Many, many things on my plate, as usual. I'm finishing up a revision of a novel. I've got a new novel coming out at the end of August called Anybody Shining. Look for it. I think that's it for right now. But I'm excited to have units to show you. Big units, little units. It's all about the units this week. Anyway, I guess, you know, you want to just go ahead, Quilt Diaries? Sure, why not? Let's go. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Monday, July 7th, 2014. And it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe 3:20. Shortly, I need to go pick up children from their various places. Will is doing a camp this week, afternoons from 1 to 4. It's a learning to do the Scratch program, which I believe will teach him how to make his own computer games. I figure if he's going to do computer time, he might as well be building something on the computer. We are limiting his computer time. As always. Okay. I gotta put this. The other day I'm on Facebook and my friend Carla posts a link to somebody's blog, and she said, oh, everyone needs to read this about computer time and why I don't let my children spend time on computers. So I go to this blog, which, by the way, I don't even know the name of. If you want to know, I'll look up Carla's Facebook page and find the link again. But essentially, it's this mom saying, well, it's summer, and, you know, it's not that we don't let our kids have any computer time, but it's very structured, and we don't, you know, do this or that. And a lot of it, you know, it's like no smartphones, which I think is fine. Jack got a smartphone this spring. And, you know, the funny thing is, mostly what he uses it is for a reader. He reads a lot of political commentary online, and so he just uses it like a book. It's like the most expensive book in the world, so that's kind of hilarious. But anyway, but yes, I don't think that, you know, I mean, every family has, you know, people have different needs. I could see a situation where 11-year-old, you might want him to have a smartphone for, I don't know, I mean, you don't have to have a smartphone to text, but nonetheless, basically Will's not getting a smartphone for some time. We might get them a flip phone if they still make them, or, you know, just a regular old dumb cell phone, because that could be useful. A friend of mine was telling me about, actually her sons are the same age as my sons, and her younger son played football last fall, just in a, you know, peanut league. And he wasn't going out and being very aggressive. So her husband, on a spur of the moment whim, said, if you go out there and really hit hard, I'll get you a smartphone. Like, not over the course of the season, not, well, not, and if your mother agrees with me, I'll get you a smartphone. And so, of course, the kid went out and he hit really hard and played really aggressively, so he got a smartphone. And his mom's like, what are you thinking about getting our fifth grade son a smartphone? It's the last thing in the world he needs. But you know what, dads do stuff like that. All right, the man has made computer promises that have really just made my life a much harder place to be. And you know, I love the man.
generally think he's a very wise and capable manager. But a couple times you're just like, really, really, is this why? Where I was not consulted. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, smartphone. I got to smartphone how? Oh, yes, because I was talking about Will's computer time and the fact that, yes, it's, you know, that great, that's what he needs is more time in front of computer, but Gavin's out of town. We just need something for him to do this week. Anyway, and if he's going to be on the computer, I'd rather him be being creative on the computer. So anyways, but I'm telling you about this blog post. So it's basically, no, our kids don't have smartphones. I don't give them, when we go out to eat, I don't give them my phone so they can play, you know, and just kind of going on. And it got a little bit, you know, first of all, I don't know anyone who does it in one way or another limit their kids' computer time. Now, with Jack at this point, it's basically he has hoops he has to jump through in order for us to not be draconian about his computer time. So he can be in charge of his computer time, but he also has to do the following things, including get excellent grades, which he does, and do this work around the house, which he does. And he, this summer, he has started mowing the lawn, which I'm so happy about, because I always just felt so bad for the man after working all week and coming home and mowing the lawn, which I guess I could have done too. But he's a little bit, you know, he's a good manager, but sometimes it's like, you know, I don't think he wanted me to mow the lawn. I think he likes to be in control of things. But I think he also understood that at age 15, Jack is perfectly capable of mowing the lawn. Jack is about 6 feet tall now. He can handle it. And he has handled it. He does a good job. So anyway, so Jack has, he has to get so much exercise every day and be outside and do this stuff. So one way or another, everyone I know limits or puts controls on the computer time. But so this mom was just going on and on about, but the thing that got me, she's like, and one thing I thought was actually pretty cool. She said, when you go, you know, when one child goes to another child's game, I want them to actually be there and be present for his brother. And I think that's very nice. And I think that we are very quick to hand off, you know, iPads and smartphones to kids in situations like that where, you know, where actually it would be, it might be good, at least for part of the time, to say, you know what, why don't you be present? So, I mean, I thought her larger point about saying kids need to be present in their lives, I think, as do adults, obviously, I think is a really good point. But she went on about, at the restaurant, I want to hear the precious things you have to say to me. And I just thought, wow. And somehow that's where I got off her train. It was just something, it became very sentimental about childhood. I want to spend as much time with you as possible. I want to hear every precious word out of your mouth. And I'm like, wow, we must have really different children, because I really love my children, and I very much enjoy talking with them. I don't want to talk with anyone all the time. I don't want to be with anyone all the time. And my children don't want me to be with them all the time. This is not like a family goal. Is this kind of, yes, I want to be with you as much as I can. It's like, I want you to go out and play. And don't, you know, break a window while you're doing it. I want you. So, yeah, I mean, I like the times. And Will is a particularly good conversationalist. And he'll come just plop down and we'll start talking about something. Or, you know, we'll take a walk. And we'll have good talks. Jack is less of a good conversationalist. But every once in a while, you can get him at least to debate something. He's a good arguer. And we've, you know, and so probably once quarterly we have a really good conversation. But yeah, there was just something about that. I don't want you to have computer technology because it gets in the way of me enjoying precious you. I'm just like, huh, okay. There are a lot of reasons, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just being cranky about that. But it was getting a little bit much. And somebody made a very good comment. She just said, you know, because everyone's like, oh, I'm crying as I'm reading this. At last, someone who agrees with me. I'm like, who are you running around with? Are you really running around with people who don't put limits on their children's screen time? I don't know anyone who doesn't. Don't know anyone. But so people are just sobbing. Oh, thank you. Thank you for being so wise and for da-da-da. And someone just wrote, you know, to be honest, I put limits on my computer time, on my kids' computer time too, but I think you're just guilt tripping people here. People have so much to worry about. People are trying really hard, and now you're just putting a guilt trip on people who maybe are not doing a perfect job of this. And everyone's just like, oh, you know, heretic, how could you say such a thing? And that, and that. But I was like with her. It's like, wow. Quit, you know, it's like, it's hard. It's hard. We are, parents are now policemen in a way. I don't think parents had to be policemen, certainly not before the internet, you know, but just the culture is out of hand. And, you know, you're having to watch. I hate that, you know, Will loves sports. I don't hate that he loves sports, but so much of the sports he watches on Fox TV. I'm so glad we now have the MLB channel for baseball. And if we can get an NFL channel, the man and I have been talking about just getting rid of cable because we hate Time Warner so much. And there's so many ways now to get, you know, to get what TV you want. Via Netflix and Amazon.com and, you know, and these specialty channels. Because I hate the commercials, especially these commercials that really celebrate the culture of, well, really the culture of alcoholism, but the culture of alcohol, so that that's, you know, the good life is standing around, you know, a fire pit at the beach and drinking beer. And you know what? That can be the good life, but it's not the only good life. And so, you know, anyway, we're all kind of trying to police what our kids experience, especially when they're younger. But so yeah, it's what we need is one more guilt trip from some perfect parent going, well, this is what I do so I can enjoy my precious children. You know, I hate the word precious. I really do. It's a very Southern thing. I don't know if this woman was Southern. But, you know, and we hear it a lot from the man's aunts. He's got many, many aunts. And they're like, oh, he's so precious. And you're just like, no, he's, again, you know, I really do love my children. But they're, you know, they're big scoundrels just like the rest of us. You know, there's like, you want to believe in original sin? Come meet my children. And, you know, come meet me. Right? So, anyway, that was just a long rant to say that Will's at computer camp this week. And it's probably almost time for me to go pick him up at this point. And, you know, I actually have quilting things to tell you. Well, the main quilting thing is I have done very good work on my units. They have become unit-tier. I have added another strip to the units. And let's see what time it is. I got a few minutes. I checked my Fitbit to see. So that was good, and I think today there will be one more unit. The thing that I was thinking, so, you know what? I have the book right here, so I can actually tell you the name of the quilt that I'm working on, which is Scrap Basket Sensations by Kim Brackett, More Great Quilts from 2.5 Strips. And this quilt, it's very pretty, is called, oh my goodness, the page is stuck closed. How ironic. When I find, I haven't, why is this page stuck closed? Now I can't even tell you. All right, hold on. Unsticking the page. There we go. It's called Nova. It's a really beautiful quilt. And it actually looks, the pattern looks somewhat similar to the quilt that all the wonderful twilters made me, which I'm still enjoying very much. I feel like I should mention that every episode, how much I love that quilt. Anyway, but you know, so I'm working, putting to, you know, I picked my colors, and now it's like putting them together. And as I was doing it, as I was adding one strip to the units and trying to figure, all right, you know, dividing out the strips and figuring out, like, how do I want to do this? What color do I want to use here? Because, you know, it, I mean, it's not a crapshoot. That's it, but it's a guesstimate of, for me anyway, of what I'm going to get up, end up with blockwise. Do you know what I mean? I mean, because there's so many different colors and potential color combinations. And of course, every time you add a piece to the unit, as you're building your block, you're making a commitment. And then you've got the next, I've got like two more pieces to add to my units. And then that involve color choices, and then there's one last piece, which is just the same color. It's the strip from the back, the not the backing fabric, but the background fabric. You know, with each time you add on, you're making a commitment to this colorway and this block. and hoping that, frankly, you're not screwing yourself when you get to like the last few units and going, oh man. And yeah, so I mean, I don't even pin anything till I've got it all kind of worked out. But I was doing that yesterday and thinking, wow, this is just, you know, this is the worst part. But no, in some ways it's not. I mean, in some ways it's the funnest part. And you know, you may make mistakes, and there's always going to be like one block. You're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And there's nothing stopping me from going to Thimble Pleasures and buying some more fabric and working it out. In fact, I probably have fabric from the fabric that I bought to make this quilt. Although, you know, at this point, where is it? Who knows? That is the problem with having a big party. You start like squirreling stuff away, and you think you'll remember where you put it. And you're just lying to yourself. I lost, until we went to the beach, so I have like all my, I had like just put in a box, all my seed packets from my garden, and my gardening gloves, of which I have like four pairs, and my garden scissors, very important, and my garden twine. And then after the party was over and I went looking for it, I couldn't find it. I had put it in the garage. I could not find it. Gone. And it was gone. The party was May 31st. We found it like right before we went to the beach. The man found it in the garage. He had put my box like in another bigger box of stuff that we were hiding away from our company, from our invited guests. And he found it, which was good. I mean, I actually had to go out and buy some more basil seeds because I hadn't planted my basil yet. And so I was like, and I did go and buy a new pair of gardening gloves, which, you know, I hated to do because I knew sooner or later the stuff would show up. But maybe it wouldn't be until, you know, we were heading to the retirement home. So anyway, yes. Yeah, so where would the remaining fabric for this project be for the Nova quilt? Will I remember that? No. Except now I'm thinking, yes, remember, it's like Northern Virginia. Now, if that had any connection to my friend Nancy, I'm making this quilt for, that would be great. But it actually doesn't. She's from Buffalo. Anyway. Yes. So it is. It is a bit of, you know, a roll of the dice. Do you know what I mean? I mean, do you have, if you've selected your colors and cut out your strips, and then you're making certain educated moves, right? But then at some point, it's just like, does this go better here or better there? And how's it all going to look when it all comes together? I don't know. This is why I love red and white quilts. They're red and they're white. Speaking of red, I managed to dye one of my, a pair of khaki shorts. No, I didn't. It's spotted red. Why? I like, why? It was one of those things, why did it even need to happen? I was in the attic, and I was folding up an old comforter, Will's old comforter. And then I realized when I had thrown it in the attic, I hadn't washed it. All right? So from whenever, you know, usually we pull it out, like if Will's got friends spending the night, and we pump up the mattress, you know, the inflatable bed, and we usually use that on the inflatable bed for bedspread. And so whatever the last time he had a sleepover, probably sometime in the spring, after the sleepover, I just threw it back in the attic. And what I realized when I was folding it up neatly is it really needed to be washed. So I put it in the washer, and then I left it there for like 3 days. And as I put it in the washer, I also thought, oh, my shorts are dirty. My khaki light shorts are dirty, but you know, this is a comforter we've had forever. So, but I threw them in, and then probably where the staining happened was not during the wash as much during the 3 days where the shorts were balled up in the red comforter. So yeah, so I think I'm actually going to dye the shorts. I might see if I can dye them a nice rust color. I don't really need red shorts. I don't know that red shorts work in my life, but a rust colored pair of shorts, I'm going to try that because I like the shorts themselves. Yes, so got to check on the time again because I, you know, I have such a good time talking, and then it's time to go. Where are we? So I'm doing my Fitbit. I'm tapping. Oh, it's 3:39, so I've got a few minutes, but not many. So yes, where am I? Fat red and white quilts. Yeah, quilts were just, you know, I'm for them. Or the blue and white quilt, which my blue and white mosaic quilt that I've been eyeing. I was thinking when I start putting together this quilt, the Nova quilt, I should just do a lot of, you know, what do we call that kind of piecing? Where it's just one thing after another. You know, I'm 50 now. My memory totally gone. You know, we just, you know what I'm talking about. One piece, it's just the one long rope of fabric. I don't even know what we call it. But you know, you're sitting there on your side of this podcast going, it's blank, it's this. Is when you do that, it is called making a train piece. It's piecing, it's whatever it is. You know what it is, and you'll win a prize if you figure it out before I do. Yeah, so that's where I am. And so, again, it's Monday. I think the man is up in the mountains. He's working on an archaeological dig that is being run by Will's fifth grade science teacher. And he's really doing research because I think my next Phineas L. McGuire book may be called Phineas L. McGuire Gets Digging, where he actually does like archaeology camp or something like that. And so my plan is to actually get the man to write the book, which I think he could. He's an excellent writer, and I think he knows my style well enough that he could write the book, and then I could just go over it and tweak it. I really think that could happen. So, anyway, so he's up there. So, yes. So the rest of my day, I'm going to go pick up children. I'm going to go bring them home, and I think I'm going to sew. And I think we're just having French toast or cereal for dinner. Ah, when the man is away, the cook will play. So I think we're going to have a very light little, and the boys will love that because it doesn't involve vegetables. Yay. And, oh, there's one little thing, and then I've got to go. Really, you just, I know you don't mean to keep me, but really. I have so many cucumbers. And many years ago, a friend of mine gave me this recipe for refrigerator pickles. And so I finally did this. She gave it to me 4 years ago. And I don't think I've had a good crop of cucumbers since then. I think that's one of the issues. And I don't know why we're having such a good crop now. I don't know if all the dry weather we've had is helping. You would think cucumbers would love wet weather because they're so watery, but they really seem to be thriving this year. So I've got tons of cucumbers, and I just need to give some away, but I made refrigerator pickles. Boy, if you need a good refrigerator pickle recipe, email me and I'll send it to you because it is so good. And it's quite a treat. It's quite a treat indeed. All right, I better go pick up these guys and then I'm going to come home and I'll sew and then make French toast. And then our friend Carrie, our former babysitter, now grown-up person, Carrie, whom I adore, and it's just so much fun, is coming over to hang out with me. This evening, so that shall be grand. All right, more soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Thursday, July 10th. I don't know if I'm going to post this tomorrow, so it's possible this will be my last quilt diary. Let's say it will be. I'm almost done with a unit, or all the units. They have to all take place at the same time, as I've explained earlier about that. I did have a funny thought today. I was just kind of playing around in my own mind. Like, you know, the units, and they're getting unitier, which they are. I think two strips away from having them in blocks. And I thought when they're all done, they'll be united. You know, just kind of making a dumb joke. And I thought, oh, yeah, they will. They'll be united into a block. See? There you have it. Anyway, so I could be done with blocks by tonight. I plan to be done by this weekend. It would be nice to start chain piecing. That was the answer to the last Quilt Diaries question. What phrase can Frances not think of? Chain piecing. It could be a big chain piecing weekend. That would be really neat. It'd be neat to finish something. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I'm having a good day. It's overcast. It's in the 80s. We've had a little rain, which we need. My garden is looking good. It's a little stressed. We have had a lot of dry. It's been all dry, quite frankly, for about a month. Hurricane Arthur hit the Outer Banks last week. We didn't even get a drop of rain from that. So anyway, the garden, some of the plants are a little stressed. It's, you know, just it just helps. Just plants like a couple days of rain just to really get down there and soak them. So anyway, but I love my garden.
Yes, I'm enjoying it very much. And I am enjoying the summer because this is the summer I've actually forced my children to do chores. They've always done some chores. You know, Jack's always taking down the trash and recycling on Monday nights, and Will's got to pull the bins up, and, you know, this and that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But this summer, I was just like, all right, it's go time. And Jack is actually very good about doing chores because he really wants as much independence as he can, and we kind of have this deal. It's like, well, we'll let you determine some things about your life, but, you know, with rights come responsibilities. And so he's been doing a lot more, especially he got his driver's permit today, which is very exciting. And I haven't driven with him yet. I'm sort of dreading that, not because I think he'll be a good driver, and he just finished doing 2 weeks of behind the wheel, and I think he's going to be fine, but it's just a little nervous making to give up control that fully. but that's a big milestone in his life, in his young life. So, of course, he's going to want to do a lot of driving, and we are the next summer. Boy, just to have that tool to manipulate and get the kind of behavior I want. Just like, do you want to drive the car? Well, then you'll do this. But Jack is actually pretty good about doing chores. This summer, he is mowing the lawn, which is fabulous. One of his chores is actually exercising, because we want him to get at least 30 minutes of exercise a day. I mean, that's our big thing. It's like, you need balance in your life. Because he's really, if you let him, he can spend like all day on a computer. And some of it is reading. It's not gaming. I don't know how much time he spends on social media. I think it's mostly the social media he does is kind of like gaming forums, you know. But I was like, you can't live like that. You gotta get out of the house. You gotta exercise. You gotta do work around the house. And so he's doing his best. And today he cleaned his bathroom. It's the bathroom that he and Will share. This is very exciting because it's a boy's bathroom. So, you know, it can be kind of gross. And what I told him, I said, there are many reasons you're doing this. One is everyone should contribute to the household economy. Two, I've got lots of work to do and I need some help. Three, at some point you'll be living, you know, with other people in an apartment, or when you get married, and someone's got to clean the bathroom, and that's going to be your job from time to time. I said, and there are going to be times like when you're in college, you won't have to clean the bathroom because a little brown woman who doesn't make very much money will be doing it for you. And I want you to appreciate the kind of job she's doing, cleaning a boy's bathroom. And he laughed at that. He got that. So anyway, that's big. That's big, the bathroom. And Will is cleaning the downstairs bathroom. He has to vacuum every day downstairs in the living room in the man's study. What else is he doing? He's doing a couple other things. Downstairs bathroom, he's doing some baking for me. He has to do weekly baking. And he's really good at it. He's helped me bake for years and years. And so, I mean, he can do it. He doesn't like cracking eggs, so I crack the eggs for him, but that's about it. So, the only thing I'm really getting a lot of resistance on is the rinsing out of the dishes and putting them into the dishwasher. It's just like they're good about bringing their plates over to the counter, but they just can't get to the sink. So we're working on that. But I'm actually so pleased with how this is working out that I don't complain too much. Anyway, so it's good. It's been a good day. Someone else clean. I actually clean most of the boys' bathroom. I said, here's how you do it, top to bottom, da da da. Here's what's really gross. Do this, do that. Don't mix the bleach and the ammonia. That was a big thing. So, yes. So that is my report for right now. And, you know, I may pause here. What should I do? I feel like I had so much more to say. I think I was just so excited about sharing. Oh, you know what? Let me tell you. Let me share a little bit about what I'm watching and reading. And then I do think I'll finish up. And if I think of something new, that when I go around and do the introduction, I'll bring it up there. I found a new show. And I'm not sure I know how to say it. It's been said in the show, Bally Kiss Angel. That's how it looks. Bally Kiss Angel. Which is the name of the village, the Irish village, that the show takes place in. Are you familiar with this? It's a BBC show, early 90s, or six seasons. I think I was reading about it on Wikipedia. I've only watched a couple episodes. It's very charming. It's one of these shows that takes place in a small town and has lots of characters, but it's not Doc Martin, because it's not that kind of zany, like everyone's a character, you know, he's a real character. It's it's not that way so far. And it's one of the things that, you know, there's a couple plot lines, and one is heavier and one is darker kind of thing. And it's really charming. I'm just sort of at the end of the second episode, and I really like it. It's this, this, the conceit is an English priest, Catholic priest, coming to take over the parish in this small Irish town. I don't know why. It must be Southern Ireland, so maybe that's the Catholic Church. Maybe that's all of a piece, England and Southern Ireland, as opposed to Northern Ireland, where there would be a, I don't know. I don't know why there's an English priest over going, being a young English priest being sent to this Irish village. But nonetheless, there you have it. And he's a good, you know, he's a good guy, has a good sense of humor, which of course he needs. So that's really fun. I have found it on Amazon.com Prime. I don't know if it's on Netflix or not. I wouldn't be surprised if it were. Now, several people have suggested Mr. Selfridge, and I have tried Mr. Selfridge, and it's not working for me, although I think parts of it are very charming. One, Jeffrey Priven, is that his name? Jeremy Piven, I think. I think I got that name totally wrong. I think it's Jeremy Piven. You know, he's been really good in other stuff. I don't think he's good in this. I think he's very stiff. I think he's trying to do something that he's not pulling off. But the thing that's driving me crazy is all the anachronisms in the script, in the way they talk. And I just finally had to give up when Mr. Selfridge said, "I'll catch you later." This is an Edwardian drama. This is like Downton Abbey period. And I don't think anyone said, "I'll catch you later" in Downton Abbey times. And I was just like, and that was just sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. There were several things like that. We're like, what? So I tried it, and I know that there's several of you who said, "Oh, you should watch this." Did not work for me. Did I mention last time Life After Life by Kate Atkinson? Because I finally finished that, I think before we went to the beach. Fabulous. I loved it. It's a really good novel. I highly recommend it. When I was at the beach, I picked up a book at the library before we went to the beach called The Village by an Irish writer named Alice Taylor. She's a memoirist. She, at this point, she must be, I don't know, in her 80s, maybe possibly in her 90s. I had not heard of her before. Now, and when I looked her up, she's like huge in Ireland, and maybe huge in the States, and I just missed her. But the book I picked up was actually her third memoir, and it was her married life. And the first two-thirds are absolutely charming. The last third kind of feels like bits and pieces. It doesn't cohere the way the first part of the book does, where she gets married and moves to her husband's village, and they start out by living with his aunt and uncle who raised him, and they, you know, they start a B&B and have a family, and it's very charming without being overly sentimental, which I appreciate, and she's a good writer. So I got from Amazon used. I guess, should I admit that I got a book from Amazon? I did. I don't know why. For some reason, I think getting used books from Amazon is okay while we're waiting for this whole Amazon versus Hatchet thing to fall at, work itself out. But yeah, so anyway, so I got a used book of her first, a used copy of her first book, and I'm going to tell you, it's called To School Through the Fields, and it came out in the early 90s. Early 90s must have been big time for Irish storytelling, which may also have been when the Frank McCourt book came out, you know, Angela's Ashes, also mid-90s. I don't know what's going on, although he lived in the States. But anyway, so I've started it. It's starting out a little more slowly, just choppily. Just it almost feels like newspaper columns. And maybe these pieces started out as newspaper columns. But I'm getting into it. It's a book that you can pick up and put down. So I'm enjoying it. So her name is Alice Taylor, and she's written quite a bit, and she's written novels as well. But my sense is that her novels have not been as popular as her memoirs. So that's some of what I am reading and watching and enjoying. I am listening a lot to The Moth Podcast, which is a storytelling podcast, which I think is fabulous. And and of course, listening to Quilting Podcasts and all the other good stuff that is available on the Homemade Radio channel. So to speak. Anyway, yes, so that is where I am. I just want to mention those things. If there's a series, something you're watching on Netflix or Amazon that you're loving, please let me know. And if you have any book recommendations, please let me know. I love to hear them. I think I'm going to go ahead and finish up now with the idea of hopefully putting this up in the next couple days. I don't know that I'm going to wait to have a united set of units, aka a block, but maybe I will if I go back to work right now and start doing a little chain piecing. We'll see what we come up with. So you know, life is short, so quilt first. Katie, did I get that right? I think I did. If I didn't, let me know. All right then, see you next time. Bye.